Welcome to the Touring Car America Podcast. This is where touring car racing comes to life. You'll get in-depth interviews with drivers, series officials, auto manufacturer reps, and unique personalities through SRO, America's Touring Car Division. This is the Touring Car America Podcast, and this is Joe Jordan.
This is the TC America Podcast, and I'm Joe Jordan. Today, I'm here with a very unusual guest. He's winner of two IRL races, two IndyCar races, Indy Lights champion, Barbersol Pro Series champion. He's competed at Le Mans. He's won at Sebring. He's won at the Indy 500 as a team owner and strategist with Dan Weldon and Alexander Rossi. He's got the fastest kid in IndyCar, I think the youngest winner in IndyCar. Without further ado, Brian Herta, thanks for joining me today.
Well, it's happy to be here. Wow, I must be getting old because that list is getting long.
Yeah, it is a pretty impressive list. And, one thing I want to say before we get going is that I always admired the way you went about your racing as a driver and as a team owner from afar. I'm a Southern Californian as well, and I've always been involved in racing in different capacities. But you were at the top level. I was always struggling at different levels, but I really appreciated how you went about your business. You weren't like super flashy or like look at me kind of guy, but you were always damn fast and always had a great program. And I'm really excited to talk to you and talk about where your programs are now. And as a team owner, you've had great success, and you started with the Hyundai program. Actually, you started Global Rallycross and then moved with Hyundai in 2018 when they decided to go racing in the United States. Talk about that a little bit. You're an open wheel guy. What made you come to the tin top world of touring cars?
Well, in addition to the IndyCar program, we were racing in what was the Red Bull Global Rallycross Championship, and that was looking like it was winding down, and we started looking around for what we wanted to do. We met with a number of different manufacturers, and Hyundai was one of them, and they came back a few weeks later and said, not sure if this is something you'd be interested in, but we're looking at going touring car racing and we're looking for a team partner for that. And, I did a little investigation. I didn't know much about it. And, it looked great. It looked like a lot of fun. The TCR class really, and the TCR cars now, it's much different than what was the old touring car. These are really proper race cars. They have, level performance that's, right on par with, say, a GT4 car. And it did seem very interesting. And so we made a proposal to Hyundai, and they accepted it. And we started there. And since then, it's grown. We're still racing TCR cars. And now we've just started building TCA cars. So that's another branch for us that we've never done before. But we built our prototype. It raced it at Vegas. And we're now starting to produce production cars. So I think we've sold 5 cars already, and it's going really well.
Well, that's great to hear. I didn't know you had sold that many cars already. It looks like TCA is a real growing class, and we're excited that you're building cars with Hyundai and doing that program with them. And I got to say, you joined TCR. You won the championship in TC America. You moved to IMSA, won the championship there. You pretty much dominated touring cars since you started. So there's no reason why this TCA Veloster isn't going to dominate again. And I know you're selling cars, so 5 cars is a huge start. Did you have a goal set in mind on how many cars you wanted to sell?
Well, we said all along that we thought we could produce 6 in the first year. And I think, we're going to hit that target. And I think there's a chance we may be able to surpass it. The production's going along really well. We're building cars right now. And, it's something new for us. We've never done that. So, it's been a learning process for us. It's been a lot of fun for us to tackle that new challenge. But it's a great it's a great class, a great car. It's a great entry point for a lot of people. You know, we're seeing a lot of interest from young drivers coming out of karting, and their families who are looking for, you know, what's the first step, you know, that they're interested in sports car racing, and what's a good starting place, because the car is, you know, fairly economical, very economical. It's inexpensive to run. It has 90%, 80 or 90% of the production parts on the car. So that keeps costs down, and it can, you know, obviously compete in the TC America series, but you can also take it to track day events, NASA events, SCCA, and it's eligible to compete at all those types of events. There's a lot of opportunities for drivers looking for good track time to get out there and run the cars.
Yeah, and I will say TCA is a great class. It's really the entry-level professional level class in the United States right now. It's the lowest point that you can come in at a professional level, other than the spec MX-5, or I should say the global MX-5 series. So if you want a multiple brand and multiple car class to start off with, it's a great place to start. And you mentioned go-karting, and what I've heard from a lot of go-karters, and I've been around a ton too in my history, and when they come over to sports cars, especially like a TCA class, they realize they need actually less of a budget to run TCA than they do to run at a national level karting program. And that just blows my mind. I don't know if you heard the same thing or not.
No, that's absolutely true. I mean, karting is a terrific sport, and you know, it's a great way to build a base for motorsports, certainly. But yeah, I mean, for top level karting in the U.S., drivers from there can move into the TCA class, and it's actually less expensive. So I think that's been a pleasant surprise for a lot of people. I think that's why we're seeing so much interest in the car and the class right now.
Yeah, and Tyler Gonzalez is the first one to announce that he's going to be running next year. He ran with you guys at Las Vegas. He's a 15 or 16 year old kid out of Florida, spec Miata racer. I think he probably did go-karts as well. And I think he finished seventh at Vegas and ran faster than where he finished. You know, it's kind of a learning process when kids come out of karts. The kid who won the TCA championship last year, Tyler Maxson, came straight out of karts, and it was fun to see him progress. You know, at COTA at the beginning of the year, he had the speed, but he didn't have the race savvy yet. So it took him most of the year to get the race savvy, and then he started winning races. So I kind of expect other karters to kind of do the same thing. So that's a very interesting process that you're seeing. So,
but we think Tyler's a great young talent, and that's why we selected him to debut the car for us in Las Vegas, and then he will obviously be racing that car with Copeland next year. So, you know, but drivers like him, I think what Hyundai is putting in place too, we're going to do this off season our first Hyundai Driver Academy, where we're going to have any Hyundai drivers out to a training camp here in Indianapolis. It's going to encompass physical training, media training, some team building, and really something that Hyundai wants to do to help these younger drivers get the tools outside of the race car that a lot of times they don't get access to early on in their career, to help them develop themselves into professional drivers. And that's something that's not out there right now. I think, you know, a driver like Tyler is going to really benefit from that. And then with TCA moving into TCR, we're starting to create a ladder or a framework where drivers can come into the Hyundai program and spend several years in their development time within Hyundai before, you know, some maybe will want to stay. Others may want to move on to other classes later on. But it's a place where I think they can really be fostered and developed and help themselves mature as drivers.
Well, I was unaware of that program, so that's a really exciting program, and great to hear the investment that you and Hyundai are putting into, you know, future motorsports drivers and champions, I'm sure. That's very, very exciting. Is it open to any age, or is it you just have to be a Hyundai driver, or how does that work?
Any age. So any of the drivers competing in TCR or TCA next year, we'll have the opportunity to attend the camp.
Oh, that's great. It's a really good idea and good program. I guess they could probably contact someone at your business to find out about that, or should they go through Hyundai, or should they wait until next year and you'll get more information out there?
Well, we'll be in touch with, you know, basically we know who are going to be driving the Hyundais that are committed so far, and they're aware of the program. And
great.
I guess if you want to buy a car, then we'll give you the information on the program. It's not open enrollment. It's not something that people could just pay to go do, right? It's specific. It's something that Hyundai wants to do to help their drivers.
Yeah, if they invest in racing yeah. Hyundais, then they have access. I totally get it. One thing exactly. I wanted to talk about, too, is Hyundai's got a great, sorry to interrupt you there, great contingency program for next year for TCA to help support anyone who's running in TCA. If you win in a TCA car, and let me remind everyone that you have two races each weekend. So Hyundai, this is just Hyundai's contingency program, is $3,500 for first, $2,000 for second, and $1,000 for third. That's in TCA. And in TCR, $7,500 for first, $5,000 for second, $2,500 for third, $1,500 for fourth, and $1,000 for fifth. And I'll post that all in the links in the show notes for the Hyundai program. They're doing a lot, not only the driver category, they're doing a lot to support people who invest in their brand and invest in the Brian Hurd Autosport brand as well. So there's a lot of opportunities to grow as a driver, grow as a marketer, grow as wherever you want within the Hyundai and Brian Hurd Autosport program.
The Hyundai's, it's a very exciting brand, and motorsport and performance is not something that maybe in the past people have associated with Hyundai, but that's changing. I mean, the Veloster N just won the Performance Car of the Year from Road and Track magazine, beating out Corvettes and Ferraris and Porsches and everything else. And, I think what you see the car doing on track is an example that they're getting very serious about performance for their brand, and that means motorsport, right? We have to go on the track and prove that week in and week out. So it's fun for us to be a part of, what they're doing and support the Hyundai brand in those initiatives.
Yeah, and you have some great drivers along in your program, and some that I'm very familiar with, I saw him start racing when he was about 15, and that's the Flying Ginger that is Mason Filippi. So I'm excited to see. I've watched him grow just since he's been under your wing, to watch him kind of blossom as a person, blossom as a spokesperson for Hyundai, being involved in some of the factory programs. It's wonderful to see. And, you can really see your guidance. And I think it's also probably some guidance from your other drivers as well, and helping a young guy really develop himself as a brand person and as a race car driver. Because they're synonymous. If you want to succeed in this sport, it's not like a stick and ball sport where you're only going to succeed. You're going to succeed if you're the best driver. You have to be the best marketer, too, and the best brand person. So I've really watched that with Mason and watched him develop. And I think that's a lot due to your influence on him. So that's great to see.
Well, I appreciate that. Mason's a great young kid, and really all of our drivers were exceptionally proud of, how they represent Hyundai in and out of the car. As you said, that's important, and I think our job as a team is to try and identify young talent, but then put them in an environment where they can foster that and grow and be supported and continue to improve.
So when you went about building this TCA car, how did you go about it? You said you'd never done it before. I already know the speeds in the car because I saw it. I will say that Turnology has a great series of articles. If anybody wants to learn about the car, it's a great article on Turnology.com that has three different segments to talk about the building of the car. But I want to know kind of the process that you guys went through.
Well, like I said, it's not something we've done before. And so, but we were excited by the challenge of it. And really, we just you know, we started, we knew we had a great car, right? The car is based on Veloster Turbo R-Spec. And so we knew we had a good base. And we just did as much research as we could. We got a car and we started playing with it. We ordered some performance parts. We made some parts ourselves. Some things worked. Some things didn't. We tested. We learned. Every time the car's been on track, it's been significantly different. We keep changing and upgrading and learning. Car's testing again this coming week down in Florida. So, you know, the more it runs, the more we learn. And, you know, we feel like it's a very, very solid option now. We're confident that it's going to, you know, it's going to fit right in the class. It's going to be very competitive for anybody. It's the only TCA car I'm aware of that has a full SFI fuel cell in it. You know, so we feel like, you know, we haven't cut any corners. It's built to, you know, a very high level, high standard. And, you know, we don't approach it any differently than we do the TCR or even our IndyCar program, right? You know, anything we're doing is we're doing it to the very best of our ability.
Yeah, and you can see that in the car. I took a really good look at it in Las Vegas. And, you know, it's a little bit of your heart and soul in there. And your team's, it's not just you, it's your whole team. You've got some great people that are working for you. And you can see their excitement in it as well. It was a new thing for you, but I think you've hit it out of the ballpark with this one. And I think that, you know, it kind of shows that you sold five cars already. And even if they're not going to run in TC America, they may run NASA or SEC or whatever. It's still five cars, and that's really exciting. I know that Honda has also sold about equal number of cars. So it's going to be, I really see it being a Honda versus Hyundai battle, which is exciting for the series. And I'm excited for you and excited for your group and your team to see it blossom and grow. And it's great to have Hyundai and their enthusiasm involved in the sport. They go out to a lot of the events and do some activations and getting people around the vehicles and to know their products. So it's really an up-and-coming brand in the U.S. I think worldwide, it's already very strong. I think this may be one of their not as strong markets, but I think with partners like you and your group, I think you guys are on the right track to really make a statement.
Well, it's a growing class, right? That's why we got involved. That's why, you know, we've identified it a place where, you know, we can build cars, sell cars, support those cars and teams with parts and technical information. And, you know, we see it being a viable place to race for, you know, many years in the future.
Yeah, and, you know, SRO announced at the gala after the Las Vegas race weekend that they're going to bring TCA and TC, so TC and TCA, it's the brands that SRO owns, to Europe. So in 2021, they're going to have the ability to run TCA and touring cars in Europe. So I think that's another good look for Brian Hurd Autosports, and I could see you growing, selling these cars worldwide from your place in Indianapolis.
Yeah, it's really interesting because we work closely with Hyundai Motorsports Germany, which is where our Veloster and TCR cars are built. And, you know, they obviously have a large customer base over there. And as TCA opens up, you know, we purchase cars and then resell them here through HMSG. And I can see a reverse scenario where we're building TCA cars and selling them back through them and you know, offering and selling cars into the European markets.
Yeah, and just to remind everyone, if you don't know, if you're going to buy a TCR Honda, you buy it through Brian Hurd Autosport, and the TCA car as well through Brian Hurd Autosport, and Jeff Swoboda's the contact there to make the purchase. And I'll put that in the show notes also. Brian, I really appreciate the time. Is there anything else that you want to talk about in your programs? What you have? I know you're going to be running Nürburgring next year with a TCR Hyundai, or maybe it's not. Maybe it's not. I'm not sure which vehicle it is. But
well, I think, you know, what we're talking about is Hyundai runs. They put a big effort into the Nürburgring 24, and they ran cars last year, and they will again. And what we've talked about is sending our drivers over to run for Hyundai in Europe to that event. So it won't be us running cars or any cars over there. But what we talked about is the idea is running a Veloster and TCR car and them fielding the car. But since that's a U.S. model and car, sending our U.S. drivers over to compete. Now, the Nürburgring is a very specific licensing program that you have to go through. Yep. That is difficult. And you're weather dependent because you have to have a certain number of laps in these qualifying races and things like that. So, you know, the first challenge right now is to see if we can get our drivers, all four of them, through the licensing procedure and licensed to compete. If we can do that, then I think there's a great opportunity for them to compete in the race for Hyundai in Europe, and we'll certainly be supportive of that happening.
That's really cool, really interesting. And we actually have some touring car drivers, Chandler Hull and Cameron Evans, that are going through that process now, and they're going to be running their BMW, or a BMW, I should say, in Europe. And it's kind of the model that exists with TCR and will exist in the future for TCA, is people who run cars in different countries can fly and run the same car. It's not, you know, not run by the same people or set up by the same people, but the same base car. So they have the knowledge base. They can go run in different countries. And that's really exciting, right, for people. There, it's not a step into the unknown as much as it would be if they didn't have a basis of running these cars. So it's a really interesting concept.
Yeah, it's the same car that our drivers run over here week in and week out, and I think they'll run on a different tire over there, so that'll be something to adapt to. And obviously the challenge of the Nordschleife, that's legendary. So they're excited about the possible opportunity for them to go do that. But they also understand it's a big commitment, and you know they're going to be making several trips over to Germany just to go through the qualifying procedure to find out if they can race. So it'll be exciting to follow along with that and see how that all goes.
And before we finish up, I'm going to end on a little bit of a personal note, Brian. I know how it is. I've got a young son that races, not at the level that your son does. But how is it going from Brian Herta, Indy 500 champion, strategist, team owner, Indy 500 competitor, IndyCar winner, IRL winner, Sebring winner, Le Mans competitor, all those things, to a Colton Herta's dad?
Yeah, it's an interesting transition, and it's, I'll admit, it's not always the easiest thing to watch him. I'm actually grateful that on the IndyCar, you know, weekends, I have my own job there, and I'm working on the 98 car, working with Marco as his race strategist, and it keeps me engaged and involved in something, so I have less time to fret or worry over what Colton's doing. But I was very proud and certainly happy to see the season he had last year, and excited to see what can happen this year with his new ride.
Yeah, and that transition, you know, I used to race as well, again, not at your level, but I've gone from what I was to my son's dad, and everyone talks about him. It's a weird transition, hurts the ego a little bit, but you're also extremely proud. So, Brian, I'm excited to see all these TCA cars next year. I'm excited that your program's growing, and wish you great success, and really appreciate the time coming on the podcast today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Take care.
Bye.
Corksport Performance is your Mazdaholic stop for performance parts. Since 1998, Corksport has been giving love to all the ignored Mazda models which everyone drives. 20 years later, Corksport is a leader in manufacturing a full range of performance parts for the Mazda Speed 3, the Mazda 3, the ND MX-5, and more. We have real people that will take your phone call. None of that email-only BS from online-only stores, or a store being run out of their mom's basement in Detroit by a guy named Chuck. Corksport supports simple bolt-on mods, giving you guidance and advice to build your Mazda Speed 3 to over 600 horsepower and be a terror on the track.
This is where touring car racing comes to life. We're back. We're back to the Touring Car America podcast with Joe Jordan.
The TC America podcast, 10 questions, and I'm with Juan Diego Hernandez, new driver for BGMC race team. So Juan Diego, thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Joe, for the invitation.
Okay, question number one. What was the first car that you've ever owned?
Ever owned Audi TT.
Yeah? And was it... Yeah. Was it perfect condition, or was it a starter car?
Starter car.
Like most, if you don't know, Juan Diego lives in Guatemala, in Guatemala City, and I've been lucky enough to have been to Guatemala City, but I didn't know in the United States, most young kids, when they first start driving and they first have a car, it's a hand-me-down car. So meaning their parents give them an older car that they can destroy. So
yeah,
it sounds like it's similar in Guatemala.
Yeah. It was 2002, the car.
All right. Question number two.
Okay.
What did you want to be when you were growing up, when you were a kid? What do you want to be?
Race car driver.
Yeah, race car driver. And is that because your whole family seems to be involved in motorsports? Is that true?
Yeah, not all my family, but since my uncle, then my father, and now I am racing.
Okay, so when you were a kid, your dad and your uncle were racing, and you were around it. Yeah. So that's one of the reasons why you wanted to be a race car driver.
Yeah, I didn't see my uncle driving, but my father told me. So that's like the lineup of the family.
I gotcha. Question number three. Do you have brothers and sisters? And if yes, where are you? Are you the youngest, oldest, middle, only child? What?
Okay, I have two sisters and I am the middle one.
You're the middle one. Very good. Question number four. What's your favorite food to order at your favorite restaurant?
Oh, I love eating meat.
Carne.
Carne. Here in Guatemala, here is a restaurant that the name is Hacienda Real, and I love there.
you like to get steak and chow down. I like it. Question number five. Mm-hmm. How old are you, Juan Diego? 23. So you started racing in go-karts, I think. Is that correct?
Yeah.
All right. Correct. So now you're not very old. You're pretty young, 23. So at 23 years old, you've been racing for a few years now. What do you wish you knew in racing that you know now? So like when you're first starting racing, with all the knowledge you have now, what would you tell yourself when you first started?
I think that maybe I will tell me that I have to be patient, and train like a lot, very a lot, because only the training will make me better in the racing. So to be patient, appreciate the opportunities. And train.
Okay, passionate, appreciate the opportunities, and train. That's good advice.
Great.
Very good advice. Question number six. What's something that you failed at? So what's something that you haven't succeeded at that you tried? It could be something as a kid. Anything.
Oh, maybe. I tried to play tennis.
Tennis, okay.
Yeah.
But you weren't good enough at tennis and just decided to stick to racing?
It was two things. I was not perfect or excellent. I was good, but my uncle in that time was the president of the Federation of Squash.
Yeah.
So my fathers wanted to be in the squash team, and I wanted to play tennis.
Right.
So it was like a no way situation. Just stop playing both.
I like it. I like it. You just changed totally because you didn't want to play squash.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. Do you know baseball, American baseball at all?
I know the sport, but I don't see it.
Okay. So in the United States in baseball, when you come here and race, you'll have to go to a game at least once. But when the person comes up to hit the ball, they usually have theme music that tells people about their personality.
Okay.
So what would be your choice for your walk-up music? What song?
There are a lot of music that I like to prepare. The Rocky Balboa team, like it a lot. Yeah.
So you want
classic music? Also classic music.
You know, really classic music in the Rocky Balboa theme when you climb the stairs and you raise your arms up and down. That could be you. Okay. I can picture that. I can picture that. Question number 8. What do you do on a normal non-race weekend? What do you do when you're not racing? So on a normal weekend, what do you do?
Okay, in a normal weekend, most of the time, half of the time I spend with my girlfriend, and the other half I spend training. Okay.
So girlfriend and training. And sometimes probably both, right? So question number 9, what's your favorite book that you've read?
I didn't read so much books, but I would say Popol Vuh.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very good. Question number 10, when you're alone in your car and you're driving around, are you singing along to the music?
No,
you don't sing at all.
No,
not at all. Okay.
No.
Okay. Thank you very much for doing the TC America podcast 10 questions, Juan Diego. Appreciate it.
Okay. You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Want to save money modifying your Mazda? Yeah, we thought you might like that. And now, thanks to the TC America podcast, you can save 10% off your next purchase with Corksport. Corksport offers a full range of performance engine, handling, and styling parts for the Mazda 3, Mazda 6, Mazda Speed 3, MX-5, and more. So how do you get the 10% off from your favorite podcast, US? It's easy to do. Get your favorite parts on corksport.com and enter the promo code TCAmerica19, all in capitals, and the magic happens. You save 10%. This offer expires October 1st, 2019, so don't wait long to save. Love, Corksport.
This is where touring car racing comes to life. We're back. We're back to the Touring Car America podcast with Joe Jordan.
This is the TC America podcast. I'm Joe Jordan. I'm here with Tyler Maxson, the 2019 TC America TCA champion in his global MX-5 Cup car. And he's, get this, born in 2004. In October, he just turned 15. So he's a professional racing champion at the ripe old age of 15. So, Tyler, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. Doing great. You know, we doing the PA and the Sirius XM radio call. Me and Gino Carini always argued about how old you are. And you were actually 14 for, I think, the whole season except for the last race. Is that right?
That is correct. I was 14 for the entire season until Las Vegas.
Yeah, so you turned 15 just before the last two rounds. So I know a little bit about you. I know that you came from go-kart racing and you started when you were 5 or 6 years old. But talk a little bit about the go-karts and how that prepared you to start racing in the TC America Series.
Yeah, I raced go-karts for probably 7 years. Started whenever I was 5 and then really got serious with it probably whenever I was about 8 or 9. And we raced that U.S. And then last year we had the opportunity to go international racing in Europe with a company called CRG. I was one of their factory drivers. So we spent the entire last year in Europe. We didn't have the most success over there. We had a bit of bad luck, just not the greatest season, to be honest. And then we moved over in TCA, and that whole European experience really taught me a lot of racecraft, and it taught me how to be aggressive, and that really, really transferred well into the car racing stuff, just knowing when I needed to be aggressive and when I needed to just sit behind and push someone. It was definitely a good experience. It taught me a lot.
That's great. Let me ask you this. Was your family involved in motorsports, or how the heck did you find go-karting?
So my dad raced cars, just kind of doing SCCA stuff and a little bit of just here and there, like Grand Am events and whatnot. But then I really wasn't too fond of normal sports. I just wasn't really – I didn't work well in the whole team aspect where I had to rely on other people to get that done. And we still have to do that in motorsports, but it's at the end of the day, it comes down to me, which is what I like. But My mom was actually the one who recommended that we get a go-kart. And ever since then, I'm sure she probably wishes that she never did that.
Yeah, my next question was going to ask you, does she regret that day that she said that?
I'm not sure. I'm sure that she does sometimes, but she's really supportive and she really has helped me out a lot.
Yeah, your family has to be committed if you started at such a young age. And, you know, my kids also raced in quarter midgets rather than go-karts because the first time I took my wife to a go-kart event to say, honey, we got to do this with the kids, a kid got injured. So she said, they're not going to do anything without a cage. But, you know, your mom's a brave mom and knew that you would probably enjoy it and know that your dad had some background in it. So that's interesting to hear. So I noticed at the beginning of the year at COTA, and you mentioned that the karting really helped you with being aggressive and racecraft and things, but racecraft and a kart and racecraft and a car are kind of different. And what I noticed at the beginning of the year is some of the guys that you were racing against, guys like Chris Haldeman and the Pombo brothers, and some of those guys have been racing cars for a long time, big sedans for a long time. So I feel like they actually schooled you a little bit at the first two races at COTA. I think you did a great job. You had the speed, but you kind of learned a little bit different racecraft than go-karts at that first round. And then, you know, as the season wore on, you were really good at racecraft. So it was interesting to watch. You may have a different opinion, but I'd love to hear your opinion about that.
Yeah, I actually completely agree. I mean, it was pretty much a quick learning curve. It had to be for the racecraft because we kind of knew going in that we were going to have a shot at the championship. You know, that's obviously what we were hoping for. And we kind of were expecting good things from it, but we didn't really know almost what to expect with the way everyone was driving. And it was a quick learning. It had to be really quick for me to kind of learn the car way and pick it up quickly because we needed to get results and get points on the board for the championship. And when we had that race won and we ended up finishing third, we were really, really happy. But then obviously our second race ended up with us in a barrier after having a bit of contact. So it was a bit unfortunate there, but yeah, like you said, it was really just about learning it and I had to learn it really quick.
Yeah, you really did. I mean, there's only what, 6 weekends and maybe 7 weekends in the whole series. So you didn't have a ton of time to get up to speed, but it was fun to watch you develop. And, you know, knowing that you were so young, to actually watch the wheels turning and watch your racecraft change throughout the year was really cool and really exciting. We constantly talked about it on the radio and over the PA, and it was really fun to watch. So after COTA, you had a little bit of damage. You went to VIR. What you were happy with a third, not happy with, you know, getting the contact and into the barrier. What was your strategy at VIR? What were your thoughts headed into that weekend?
I think that made us, we weren't very happy about it, but we knew there was nothing we could do about it. We just kind of had to push on. Going into VIR, we were incredibly determined. The whole team was determined to make sure the car was put together right and give us the best shot that we possibly could have won to win. And I think that we could have done that in VIR, but it was still a case of racecraft's developing. We're still figuring everything out with the way I work and everything like that. And we really kind of figured that out in VIR. You know, I picked up a lot of racecraft there and really figured out how they were outsmarting me and was able to kind of make that correction for Sonoma. But VIR was a pretty good weekend for us. I mean, coming out with 2 second-place finishes, but we could have definitely had more.
Yeah, I thought it was a great weekend, and I noticed exactly what you're saying is even the difference between your first race at VIR versus the second race, even though you finished second both times, your racecraft improved from one to the other, and it was pretty startling. It was from that point on I told, you know my brother, he runs the Touring Car Series, he's a series manager. I told my brother, I said, you know, Tyler's coming. For him to finish second twice and for me to watch him develop his strategy and everything to do with racing was like, wow, he's really got something. Let's talk about Copeland a little bit. How did you find Copeland Motorsports right out of karting?
to be honest with you, I don't even remember how we found them. But we found them, and they are absolutely wonderful. I mean, those guys put in blood, sweat, and tears into those cars. Every single time we go on the racetrack, they are, I mean, they're perfect. Like, they have, I think that that was inevitably this year why we won the championship, because we had the best prepped cars going into every single weekend. We really didn't have any technical failures because of how well those cars were prepped. And they really gave me an amazing platform to go out and just show what I could do. And it wasn't if the car was going to break. I knew the car was going to stay together, and it was just all about how well I could perform with it.
Yeah, and just some people who don't know, Copeland is a family operation with father and son participating and other people involved as well. But they're the two main characters in it. Dean has got a ton of background driving himself, and his dad also has a ton of background in preparing all the vehicles and that kind of stuff. And how much did Dean's background driving an MX-5 Cup car help you as you developed in the Global MX-5 Cup car?
It really helped. I mean, it got me up to speed. The time we ever went out in the car, he was out there with me, and we kind of did that a few times. And, you know, Dean's incredible on the data, and he can really help explain everything to me. So me and him also, we have a very similar personalities, and we seem to just work together really well. So I think that that was also just part of the dynamic there and how we were able to communicate and figure everything out. It made everything just go so much smoother than it had in with other things.
So you ended up winning a few races and through the season. I think you swept one weekend, right? So did you end up winning two or three races throughout the series? I don't remember.
So we only ended up winning two at Sonoma, but like you said, we did the entire weekend sweep there, and and everything just pretty together at Sonoma. A combination of the race car, IR, and obviously Sonoma really benefiting those rear-wheel drive cars. It just basically was the perfect storm for us. And we were able just to waltz away with two victories in that one. Yeah, even though it did get a little bit stressful at times in that in the second race with the amount of cautions that we had. But the car was just perfect right out of the get-go. The guys had never even been there to the track before, and we still had that car absolutely perfect from the time that we left the pit box in free practice one. But the car was just perfect, and it was all about just dialing in my driving and really getting that last few tenths out of the car.
And, you know, that's a tough place to learn. So luckily your age probably helps you learn quicker. And did you do a lot of sim time in preparation?
I did, actually. I did for every track that we went to this year that is offered on the simulator that I use, iRacing, I was able to go in, learn everything, and pretty much have a baseline of what I was going to need for the track. And then as soon as I was getting there, it was just fine-tuning my driving. It wasn't really to learning the track anymore. And even, again, from go-karts, I mean, just back to that, and a lot of times we would show up and only have two practices. So it was, from that perspective of having to learn the track really quickly and then go into a qualifying session, that wasn't new to me. So that really didn't pose a huge challenge to me, but being able to use the simulator and really just fine-tuning the driving really helped.
Yeah, and I remember at Sonoma, I was worried about the restarts for you. I was worried that the veterans may do some wild and woolly things, but you were able to hold them off and just dominated that weekend. It was amazing to watch you do it. It was very exciting to see you on the top step of the podium and just enjoying it and just, you know, celebrating. And it was really cool to see.
So it was certainly.
Sorry, go ahead, Tyler.
Yeah, that was certainly a good weekend for us. You know, like I said, we just really had everything figured out, and it all came together, and we were able to pull it off. And I feel like we had that a few more times throughout the season, but everything just never fell in line quite like we would like it to.
Yeah, and I think you took over the points lead there at Sonoma. Is that correct?
No, we were still actually I believe it was like 15 points down. We ended up taking the points lead after Watkins Glen, after Nick Whitmer hit the barrier.
Oh, that's right. Nick won on a tear for a while. I forgot that he won the first four races. So I forgot about that. Yeah. So it was, then we went up to Portland, and I think you were always kind of near the top three
and kind of going over the Portland weekend. How'd you end up there?
So we ended up with, I believe, 2 third-place finishes in Portland. The first one, we really had a shot at victory, and unfortunately, with spinning off in the grass, but came from 10th to 3rd in around 4 or 5 laps. So that was a nice comeback for us in the final few minutes of the race. And then in Rick spun around at the start and more time to work my way forward, and again, almost won that race. Made a really, really late move on Chris Haldeman, and the hairpin, and it didn't work out the way I would have wanted it to, but still walking out of there with, I believe, 2 third-place finishes. That was, we were at that point just working, we were just like trying to finish ahead of Nick, knowing that he was going to be our main championship rival. We just basically were trying to finish ahead of him in every single race and hope that that was enough.
Yeah, I can't believe I didn't talk about Nick Whitmer, so my bad on that. I mean, you think about it, the Pombos, Nick Whitmer, Chris Haldeman, what a great place to learn from. You know, these guys are, you know, I think the youngest may be Nick, and he's got to be in his 30s or close to it. And, you know, you're half their age or less, way less than half their age for some of them. What a great place to just develop your skills and learn racecraft like that. Man, that's got to set you up well for next year, that's for sure. So Watkins,
yeah, it really does.
Watkins Glen, Nick had an incident in the bus stop and hurt his car. And then the next day, so he was leading the championships going into Watkins Glen. You were close, but that really opened the door for you. And I think you left Watkins Glen, like you said, with the points lead. But it was all very, very close. I mean, you had Nick and the Pombo. I can't remember if it's Matt or Mark, one of the Pombos there. And Haldeman wasn't quite as quick as we expected him to be early on. He was starting to get speed. And at Watkins Glen, he really showed it and kind of dominated, I think, that first race there. And, yeah, so but you came out of Watkins Glen with the points lead. So what are you thinking after that weekend?
So after that weekend, we were we had our hopes up high at that point. We really knew, okay, we have a legitimate shot at this. And we went into Road America with heads. I mean, we were really ready for Road America. We put Dean Copeland in our backup car there to help us out and run. And everything was going well until that second race of Road America. The first race, we finished 6th, which wasn't our greatest result, but we knew that we had more speed than what we should. Race at Road America, we had an unfortunate throttle body error, which ended up causing us to have to come in and fix that issue. And that after that weekend, we went in up on points and then out in second place. And that seemed to be the curse of this championship. Whoever was leaving would have a bad weekend, and that would come to play in our favor a little bit towards the end.
Yeah, I have to talk about that. You and Dean were out there running together, and you had a problem. And probably one of my favorite parts of the whole season was Dean flying into the pits, jumping out of his car with his helmet on, and trying to work on your car to get it going again. That's just so much about Dean and his whole group that he was willing to do that, and his focus was purely on you. It was really cool to see.
Yeah, that was incredible. I mean, he pushed me from the back stretch. Actually, it was just out of turn 3. Pushed at me from just out of turn 3 all the way around the track into the pits. And then we were able to fix the issue quite quickly. All it needed was just to be blown off. It was a really, really weird issue. It was nothing that we'd even seen before, nothing even Mazda had seen before. So it was just... And we got back out there and were able to claim a single point, which would definitely help us out in the long run.
And the bottom line there is all those things that didn't happen. I've never seen a driver. I've seen drivers work on the car, but not usually on someone else's car, and not usually, you know, pushing them all the way in to make sure you can work on it. So it's just really incredible to see, and also a real credit to Copeland and their whole group. So going into Vegas, you had the lead going into Road America. You're now, I think you were down maybe 15 points, something like that, or somewhere in that range heading into Las Vegas. And
so going into Las Vegas, we were down 22 points going into the first race. And then in that race, we actually brought in my Global MX-5 Cup teammate, Brian Ortiz, to get in our backup car for that weekend. And me and Brian really have a good relationship. I mean, we work very, very well together. And we were super confident going into Vegas. We knew, okay, we've got all the reinforcements, got this car fixed, prepped, ready to go. Fight for the championship. So we knew we had to bring in Brian to kind of help us. And he really was a big help in Vegas. He got me up to speed really, really quick. He was just quick right out the gate. And we were able to work on setup, get the cars just dialed in perfectly. And unfortunately, we got kind of caught out with the red flags and qualifying. We weren't able to get a real good time. And I think I ended up starting ninth for the first race. Or eight to right around in that area, but it was really just not a good qualifying session. But then going into the first race, we knew that we didn't have a great qualifying, but we were more determined than ever, I would say, to just get to the front, and that's what we did. We got up to the front, and we were fighting like cats and dogs up there for the positions. We ended up walking out of there third after a penalty for Matt Pombo. And he wouldn't have scored points anyway, but we were third no matter what. So we walked out of their third out of the first race. And then we go into race two. Everything was good. We were ready to go. And we go out. We got a few laps in. I want to say it was until the first caution flag came out that we started noticing some issues. And it was very similar symptoms to our throttle body issues that we had in Road America. Opposite what we had in Road America. In Road America, the car wouldn't work on high RPMs. In Vegas, it wouldn't work on low RPMs. So luckily for us, there's only really one corner in Vegas that would have posed a problem, and that was the corner coming on to the front straightaway. That was really the only very slow-speed corner that we were worried about, and Brian was behind me. He wasn't going anywhere. He basically stuck to my bumper and was able to actually push the car out of its stutter zone and into the RPM range that it wanted, and that inevitably kept us going able to win the championship.
Yeah, it was an incredible weekend, and that the whole soap opera of leading the championship, such great high hopes, then being behind in the championship, and now winning the championship. So, I mean, what a great year for Copeland and you, and super happy for you and your family and the Copeland team. And I want to talk about next year. So you're now the champion. And I know I heard about halfway through last year that you really wanted to get into a TCR car. So all of a sudden, here you are looking in at 2020. And I think you're going testing this week in the car. Is it going to be your first time in the car? Or have you driven it before?
It'll be the first time in my car. I drove Copeland's TCR car at Road Atlanta a few weeks ago for an SCCA event. But we're going down this weekend to Sebring to do a little testing program and just really get this car all dialed in and ready to go and do everything in my car for the first time. And yeah, I was pretty much halfway through last year. We were really looking into TCR. And I kind of knew that that was what I wanted to do. It was pretty much between TCR and GT4 for next year. But I really was pushing and I wanted TCR because I just think the series is growing very much. We can see it. It looks like it's going to be way bigger than it was this year, next year. So we're really expecting the series to grow over these next couple and even the season after possibly. And that's just really the route that we wanted to go.
Yeah, it should be a good showcase for you, but I got to ask you, how big of a jump was that from the TCA car directly to the TCR car?
It was a big jump. It was a big learning curve for me. Going from a six-speed manual to a paddle shift sequential gearbox was definitely different. That was probably the biggest jump for me, and then also the downforce levels are just so much greater, and that car is so downforce. Not like these Mazdas and the TCA cars are, where they really have zero downforce whatsoever. Those TCR cars just generate such a downforce level through the corners, and you're able just to throw the car into it. It's just going to stick.
So do you feel that your success in TCA, we're going to see a lot more carters coming over and running TCA in the future?
I think so. I think that it's going to be I think that nowadays people are moving from carts to cars a whole lot earlier. And I think the TCA provides a great platform for it because it is a very good entry-level series. There's really good guys in it, like we saw this year. And it's a place where you can really learn skill and develop racecraft in a very quick time period.
And I'm sure you're aware of budgets, but what I've heard from TCA is that it's actually less money to run in TCA than it is at a high-level karting program. Would you agree with that, or do you know about that at all?
It really is, to be honest with you. It's same cost, I believe, to run at a top-level TCA program and a top-level karting program. They're pretty much even as far as money-wise goes. So it's a great platform to come in. I mean, you can buy the cars in – usually they're around $50,000, which for a race car like you're getting is not a bad price at all. And then to go run with a team, and you can really go and win right out the rip. I mean, if you've got the skill, it's just about developing the racecraft, and then you can go out there and compete with these guys and inevitably beat them.
Tyler, I just can't believe you. Are you a freshman or a sophomore in high school?
I'm a freshman.
You're a freshman in high school. You're talking with such knowledge and so relatable. It blows my mind. When I was a freshman in high school, I could barely talk. So I'm amazed, Tyler. I have a background. I coach freshman football, so I know a lot of freshman kids. I've dealt with a lot of kids your age and coaching them. And man, you're well spoken, and man, you know a lot about what you're doing. And to see that big picture and to understand what a great class it is to go into, and knowing that you're going to get schooled by some veterans initially, but you're going to learn quickly. I mean, what a great testament to you to be able to talk about that and, you know, to win the championship. I'm really excited for 2020. And I agree with you. I think that the TCR class is going to be loaded. I think there's going to be a bunch of good guys and a bunch of cars in there. And, you know, the speeds are really close to a GT4 car, but the series is growing. I'm really excited to do the Touring Car Festival at Lime Rock Park. That should be a really good time, especially very interesting because GT4 is going to be the undercard. So I'm excited about that. And I think we're going to see you at the front there too. And I'm happy to see that. And I'm excited for you.
Yeah, I'm certainly excited for the Touring Car Festival next year. That's going to be one of probably our highlights of the year. Lime Rock Park is, I mean, it's an incredible track. I've never driven it, but I've driven it a lot on the sim lately. And it's a ton of fun. And I really cannot wait to throw the Veloster and TCR car around there.
Yeah, and it's
going to be a lot of fun.
A lot of elevation change you don't get in the sim, but it is a, they call it the bull ring. I don't know if you know that, because it is wild and woolly, and it's going to be. And, The fields are growing so much in TCA and TCR next year. I think you're going to get your own race, or you may get your own race. So we'll see, depending on how big the entries are. But is there anyone you want to thank or promote heading? You know, we're going to close this out, but I want to make sure you're able to talk about, you know, your supporters and your team and what plans you have for next year.
Yeah, certainly. I definitely want to thank the entire team for this year. Copal Motorsports, I mean, they just knocked it out of the park. They really run a top-notch program over there, and I think that next year we are going to be one of the teams. I think that we are going to be the cars and the teams to beat next year. I think that we really have a strong understanding of both the TCA car that they're going to be bringing in as well as our TCR cars. I really think that we got some good support over there. Hyundai as well for next year, Mazda for their support this year, Four Seasons Auto Wash, my parents that's helped me out throughout the year. Just want to give a big shout out to them.
Tyler, I still can't believe you're 15 and you're a freshman in high school and you've already achieved what you've achieved. I look for great things from you in the future. Really enjoyed the conversation, and you know, thanks for coming on right after you got out of school today. So thanks a lot, Tyler. We'll look forward to seeing you next year.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Touring Car America podcast, where touring car racing comes to life. subscribe to the show. And for more series information, go to the series website at tcamerica.us.